In the name of Jesus Christ, who rose victorious from the grave to bless us with his presence on our daily journey to glory, dear students, faculty, and staff of Emmanuel, my name is Michael Eichsted. I'm the pastor at Messiah Lutheran Church, Hales Corners, Wisconsin. It's also my privilege to currently serve as the president of the CLC. I was very much looking forward to standing at the podium in the field house to share with you the wonders of God's love in Christ Jesus. That, of course, has not happened, but I still appreciate this opportunity to be with you online. The last time I gave a chapel address to the students of Emmanuel was 36 years ago, in the spring of 1984, more than two lifetimes ago for many of you. I was a seminary senior, just weeks from graduation. Even though much has changed in the world over those years, I'm guessing that your thoughts at this point are not that much different from what mine were. There were things to look forward to. There was a piano recital, spring play, softball, baseball, banquet. But I and the other students of that time were looking far beyond that. We were looking ahead to what's next? What's next after graduation? What will the summer hold? What's next after safer at home? Orders are relaxed. What's next in my life? That's the ongoing question. The disciples were thinking of that same question after Jesus' resurrection on Easter. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They asked the Lord. Apparently, they were still anticipating a glorious earthly kingdom, as were many other people of that time. But Jesus told them in Acts 1, verses 7 and 8, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What's next? You will be my witnesses, the risen Lord tells us too. A witness speaks about what they have seen and heard. An eyewitness to an accident will tell the police what he saw in the flaming wreck. An eyewitness of some amazing natural phenomenon, the northern lights, or a magnificent waterfall. An eyewitness will gladly speak of that. The disciples were eyewitnesses of Jesus' miracles, which were signs pointed to him as the Lord, the Messiah. They had been there. They knew what it was like to have their feet in ankle-deep water, sloshing around in a boat that was sinking on a storm of the Sea of Galilee. They could remember, they recalled, they were eyewitnesses of seeing Jesus stand up in that boat, address the wind and the waves and say, quiet, be still. They were eyewitnesses of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus multiplied a small amount of bread and fish and fed those thousands. They were there when Jesus called Lazarus from his tomb. They had heard Jesus speak about the kingdom of God, and how he had come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Peter, James, and John saw his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then came that depths of suffering in Gethsemane before his death on Good Friday. Easter evening, they had seen Jesus face to face and heard his first words to them, peace be with you. Shortly, Jesus would ascend to the right hand of the Father, but he would leave them here on earth for a time to witness to his saving work to the world. What's next for you? Maybe a summer job or an entry-level position in a chosen career? Will you be teaching Vacation Bible School? Taking a trip with the family? Whatever it might be, wherever the future days and weeks and months take you, the Lord calls you to be his witness. Wherever you are, nothing is more needed in a post COVID-19 world, in the new reality, than the reassurance from God himself that his love has not changed. Nothing is more needed than to speak of the forgiveness won by Jesus, which still applies. Nothing is more needed than the Lord's promises of help, his blessing, and the gift of eternal life by faith. All those blessings you can count on, no matter how fragile and uncertain other things are, and you are witnesses of that. We haven't seen the Lord face to face with our physical eyes, but with the eyes of faith, we have seen him. We do see him. We can't help but speaking of the things we have seen and heard, as Peter and John told the Jewish high court. It's just news too wonderful to keep to ourselves, too important. You have good news to tell, the very best news of God's unconditional love for everyone in Jesus. That's what's next. And it's what's next, not just for us as individuals, but for us as a church body, the Church of the Lutheran Confession. Our CLC convention is coming up at the end of July, at which time we'll review the work of the past 2 years and ask God's guidance and blessing for the future. There'll be talk and discussion about our mission work, about ILC, about many other aspects of the work the Lord has given us, but it all centers, it all revolves around that commission of the Lord to be His witnesses, to tell the good news. Remember, Jesus is not talking just to your parents, teachers, pastors, and others in the baby boomer generation, Generation X, but also to millennials, Generation Z, and beyond. The Holy Spirit has been and is now equipping you to take up what's next. Because as long as the earth stands, the greatest need will always be for forgiveness of sins and salvation from eternal death. There will always be a need for all believers to shine with Jesus' light into every area of life. But there's a special need for servants of Christ in the front lines in the full-time public ministry. You don't have to look very far to see what comes up in the future. Many of our CLC pastors and teachers will soon be, or already at, past retirement age. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus says the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers. Pray that the Lord will use you in the way for which He is equipping you right now. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When you see gifts which the Lord could use in the ministry in your friends, classmates, let them know, encourage them. Tell your roommate, you have a great way of explaining Scripture, you're a good listener. Or you have a way of putting people at ease, that's a gift. Or to tell someone else, you know the Bible well. Maybe the Lord could use you in the public ministry. Ask the Lord if He might use you in the pulpit or classroom. I pray that none of you will ever feel pressured or forced into the ministry, but rather be open to the Lord's drawing you with His word, perhaps giving you a little nudge with that gospel message of the good news in Jesus. The Lord draws young men and women into His service with that same word which feeds and strengthens our faith every day. There's no better calling. Someone once said that if you love what you do for a job, you never work a day in your life. And there's a great deal of truth to that. On July 4th, 1939, the Yankee baseball star Lou Gehrig, who had just been diagnosed with the disease which would be named after him, addressed a packed crowd in Yankee Stadium. And he's quoted as saying, "Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth." And why? He explained because he had played 17 seasons, the game he had loved, with people who loved it as much as he did. Well, how much better, then, is to be involved into public ministry? There's no better calling. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." Psalm 78 says, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord." To share God's love with the people of God and to use His word to call still other sheep into the Lord's flock is precious. To have a word of peace to apply to burdened consciences, to give people something solid which they can hold on to and take their stand on and build their life and eternal future on, especially when now our whole way of life is upside down and nothing seems certain, that's priceless. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." To teach little ones that they are not alone in a big, scary world, but they have Jesus always there, is some of the most blessed work there is. To heal the hurts caused by life's disappointments, the devil's lies, and the evil intentions of others, with the reassurance that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles, again, is blessed work. To give hope of eternal life, a certain hope in the face of death? That's what the world needs to hear the most. So what's next? The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So what's next? Great things are next. May the Lord bless your studies today, the closing activities of the school year, and the summer ahead and beyond. In all these things, may you be faithful witnesses of the risen, living, and returning Christ. Then your labor in the Lord will not be in vain. And whether you're looking at today or the next 50 years or more, you can confidently say with David, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord be with you. Amen.
The hymn selected for this morning's chapel is hymn 243 from the Lutheran hymnal.
Oh, that I had a thousand voices to praise my God with thousand tongues, my heart which in the Lord rejoices would then proclaim in grateful songs to all wherever I might be what great things God hath done for me. Praise the Savior whose compassion did bring thee down to ransom me. Thy pitying heart sought my salvation, though keenest woes were heaped on thee, brought me from bondage full. Spirit of all grace, whose holy power and faithful teaching give me among thy saints a place, whate'er of good by me is done, is wrought by grace divine. Shall I not then be filled with gladness? Shall I not praise thee evermore? And joy of